The reading this morning, especially from the prophet Isaiah, is something that rings very deep inside of me, I think, for you as well. 50 years ago, I was in Vietnam, in a war. The prospect of peace was such an amazing thing held out. And then I think 50 years have passed. The world is still in tatters, wars and rumors of wars. Makes me think of a song by Bono of U2. Heaven on earth, we need it now. I'm sick of all this hanging around, sick of sorrow, sick of pain, sick of hearing again and again that there's going to be peace on earth. Jesus, can you take the time to throw a drowning man a line? Peace on earth. Tell the ones who hear no sound, whose sons are lying in the ground, peace on earth. No whos or whys, no one cries like a mother cries for peace on earth. She's never got to say goodbye, to see the color in his eyes. Now it's in the dirt. Peace on earth. When will there be peace on earth? I love the Advent season and the four themes or words today: peace, hope, love, joy. They are such profound and deeply meaningful themes and words that can take us to where our hearts yearn. And yet, especially in this Advent season, they are in danger of being co-opted, emptied of their transforming power, and used to merchandise material, used to lull us to sleep and reduce it all to a romantic feeling. So this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a look at the readings through the lens of C.S. Lewis, or with the help of C.S. Lewis. So on January 18th, 1942, after England had been bombarded with a blitzkrieg for nearly 2 years, and most people in England were expecting the invasion of the Wehrmacht, C.S. Lewis, as part of the series that he was giving on Christianity on the BBC, in one of the lectures entitled, "What is Christianity All About? The Invasion?" has these words. Enemy-occupied territory, that's what this world is. And Christianity is a story of how the rightful king has landed, you might say in disguise, and is calling us all to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. When you go to church, you're really listening in on the secret wireless from our friends, and that's why the enemy is so anxious to prevent us from going. I'd also like to add that the enemy is keen on having us tame God's dangerous instructions that we hear over the wireless when we get there. To be a servant church that follows the servant king, the Prince of Peace, in a world where the order of the day is with politics of self-interest rather than compassion, with maximizing profits rather than serving the common good, with getting even and having the last word rather than in embodying reconciling forgiveness, and with violence as a means of solving conflict rather than the cruciform and costly steps of the Prince of Peace. To follow Jesus in this world is to step into the dangerous arena of historical existence and to say, no more. Each candle we light says to the darkness, I beg to differ. And when that happens, it places us in danger. We are called to participate in a campaign of sabotage in a world that has made a covenant with death. To do that may make life dangerous. I'm curious. Have you thought that our gathering Sunday after Sunday, our celebration at the Eucharist, are listening to the stories and singing hymns and listening to beautiful anthems. Have you ever thought that this is all preparing us, informing us, nurturing us to participate in the campaign of sabotage? To say to the darkness, I beg to differ. Ever think that what we're doing can be seditious, dangerous? It is. And that's why I think there is so much effort to lull us to sleep. When we call to wake up, there's a danger in seeing what we see out there and seeing what we see in the mirror terrifying us, that we're tempted to hit the snooze button. But even more than us hitting the snooze button and going back to sleep, the air that we breathe is filled with exclusionary vapors that try to lock others out, that seek to divide, that sow the seed that's fertile, a seed that disallows the seed of peace to take root and blossom. So, on this first Sunday of Advent, as we sing about peace and yearn for peace, and want to say to the darkness of violence, I beg to differ, I'd like to draw on another story from C.S. Lewis. This is from his Silver Chair in the Chronicles of Narnia. Anyone know it? In this story, Prince Rillian of Narnia has been kidnapped by the wicked queen of the underworld and drugged and held captive. She's convinced Rillian that there really is no overworld, there really is no Narnia, that he is really the king, the new king of the underworld, who is going to lead the armies of the underworld in a battle against the people of Narnia. He believes he is this king. His father in Narnia is dying. He needs to come back to be the rightful king. So Aslan, a Christ figure, a mighty lion, calls on two children, Jill and Scrub, to take this dangerous journey into the underworld and rescue him. Along the way, they're joined by a marshwiggle called Puddledum, the pinnacle of pessimism and cynicism. But he's faithful. So they finally find Prince Rillian, and they find that when every day for a brief period, he has a fit, and during that fit, he comes back to himself and realizes who he is, and that there is a Narnia, and that there is an Aslan. But while he has that, the queen of the underworld binds him in a silver chair and tells him it's his throne until the fit passes and he's safe to be deluded again. During one of those fits, the children break the bonds and they're on their way out and the queen sees them. But instead of overpowering them, she engages them in conversation. She says, what is the overworld? The sun, though, the sun, it's like a big light. You're just dreaming when you're thinking there's something more. And the more she talks, the more confused they get. And the more confused they get, the more they begin to believe that the underworld is what's real, that there is no Aslan, that there is no Narnia. Puddleglum notices that when she's engaging them in conversation, she takes some green powder and sprinkles it on the fire. And the smoke that comes intoxicates the children to believe what she says. Puddleglum sees this going on, and he has webbed feet, this marshwiggle, and he stomps on them in his bare webbed feet, stomps on the fire. And the searing flames and cinders cause him to screech out this loud, piercing screech, at which time the children all wake up and realize who they are and are enabled to escape and leave. My sense is that whenever we are in a fit and remember who we are, that we're called to follow the rightful Prince of Peace who has landed in disguise and is calling us all on a campaign of sabotage, that when we remember that, when hope burns in our heart, when the desire for peace is so strong that we're willing to pay any price to get there, that the powers and principalities of the age sprinkle little green powder onto the fire, and we inhale, and we get lulled to sleep, and we're tempted to forget. And as we walk through the malls, when we hear songs about peace on earth and love and joy, we find ourselves more tempted not to resist, but to purchase. And somehow our expression of love for the other becomes how much money we can spend and go into debt, forgetting that this Prince of Peace works for debt cancellation. Loves this earth which gets buried in wrappings after Christmas. The reading that we had this morning from Isaiah doesn't start off with this beautiful promise of a peaceable kingdom. The book opens up with oracles of judgment. The end is about to come for you. What more can I do, says God, than I've already done to try to wake you up? I've even had foreign nations coming in, war to try to wake you to senses, but you would not. And then he says this, seek justice, pursue peace, defend the widow, plead for the orphan. If you don't do this, the sword will devour your land. Then, and only then, after this oracle of judgment, this call to wake up, the prophets screech and scream as he stomps on the fire. Israel awakens. And then, or at least it's tempted to awaken. And then, and only then, is this promise of hope held out. The road to get there is going to be hard. This is worth it. There will be a time when swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. And we pray for the Prince of Peace to come, to open the door of peace. And all the while, the Prince of Peace is saying, I'm here. Walk with me. Follow me. Take the hard steps necessary so that this actually can happen. I've showed you how to do this. And my last words on the cross, Father, forgive, they know not what they do. This is a disorienting reality of the road to peace. My hope and prayer is that we can help each other, because I, like you, get seduced by whatever else is going on. When the world gets difficult for me and I get scared, I'm tempted not only to open a bag of potato chips and eat them, but I'm tempted to stream something and forget about what's going on. We need each other to stay awake, to hold each other's hand, to take the journey and follow Jesus. And here's the amazing thing. Paul in Romans tells us to wake up, tells us to put on the armor of light, to take off the clothing of darkness, to put on Christ. And then in Ephesians, Paul tells us this, arise, O sleeper, awake from the dead, for Christ will shine on you. When the light shines, not only do we see the darkness out there and the ways that we have unwittingly and sometimes wittingly participated with darkness in here, but we also get to see Jesus. We get to see the one who has promised never to leave us. The one who says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's not only the hope that we have, but the sustenance and the care. And we so often meet Jesus in each other, in the liturgy and around this table. So when we gather to worship, we are gathering in seditious acts. We're being formed and informed to say to the darkness, I beg to differ. I'd like to close by reading a poem by Rilke. God speaks to each of us as he makes us, then walks with us silently out of the night. These are the words we hear dimly. You, sent out beyond your recall, go to the limits of your longing. Embody me. Flare up like flame and make big shadows that I can move in. Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final. Don't let yourself lose me. Give me your hand. Amen.